The reason we are here, we're going to get a new brief shortly. In the Parks Division of Public Works, we've always promoted public-private partnerships, and if you were at our meeting last night, I'll try to make this brief. It begins with bringing in private entities, working with the county, using our properties normally. And we've been quite successful at it. I'm going to give you a couple of our accomplishments. Lakeland Little League at the Brightondale Park building, state-of-the-art ballpark, diamonds, and concession area. Kemper Center, naturally, that's a long, ongoing partnership that has been very successful. The Pringle Nature Center, some of their board are here this evening because we're going to be discussing the Bristol Woods County Park. The disc golf that is horribly successful at two of our parks, Fox River and Pets, work, design, all done by private enterprise, minor labor by the county, and it is horribly utilized. Mountain bike trails at the Silver Lake Park, all the labor done by the mountain bike clubs. And when they hold an event, Silver Lake and Paddock Lake know it. These are the types of things that maybe don't bring in a lot of revenue to the county, but the people that own the county are the taxpayers, and the people surrounding these parks benefit immensely. The Beer Garden is one of our last public-private partnerships at Petrifying Springs, and that has been very successful. And that has affected our levy and has added revenue to the park system. The dog parks, three private groups that stepped up, no levy involved in the dog parks, and they are naturally, when I drove by Paddock Lake tonight, just loaded. And it's been that way ever since it began. So those are the types of things that benefit the taxpayer. Most of them are quality of life things, but the taxpayers have paid for these county parks, and the utilization to the area businesses is very important. So why we're here this evening is we've been approached for another venture. This one is possibly one of the partnerships that could benefit the county in a little bit larger way. Lowering tax levy for the Parks Department, bringing in some income, and also partnering in one of our county parks that is our nature center, the Pringle Nature Center, with something that I believe goes hand in hand. The people are here this evening from Boundless Adventures. It is a aerial adventure park. We're talking about 6.5 acres at Pringle Nature Center, which is, or the Bristol Woods County Park, which is a close to a 200 acre park. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn this over to Matt Collins, the director of parks, and he will take it from here and bring in some added information for you.
Well, good evening. Thank you, Chairman Elverman, Chairman Rose. This is truly an exciting meeting for all of us that we were approached approximately 8 months ago from an outfit called Boundless Adventures that constructs, operates, maintains aerial adventure parks for high ropes courses within tree canopies and finds these collaborative partnerships with county park systems, state parks, and other entities in order to provide a quality of life enhancement for communities such as ours. So I won't waste too much more time because Chairman Elverman really kind of gave a general overview, but how this meeting will go tonight is we want to make sure that the committees understand what's in front of you as far as the resolution language itself, followed by a video that'll keep this in context of what truly is an aerial adventure park. And then we're gonna hand it over to Brian Funtenleiter and Doug Wheeler to talk more specific about what they do and how well they do it. And that'll leave some time for questions and answers afterwards and room for a potential vote for tonight. So with that, John Moyer, if you want to speak a little bit about the language within the resolution, I'll turn it over to him.
Well, thank you for having me. Essentially, the resolution authorizes the county executive to enter into this lease agreement and the permit agreement in Bristol Woods Park to bring Boundless Adventure and this aerial adventure park to that park. And by agreeing to do that, I think you were recognizing, you know, the language in the resolution itself, which shows that there's been success in other municipalities with similar activities in parks in other places. Boundless Adventures has come forward with a plan that it seems will succeed in terms of being a successful use of the park and bringing in more patrons. The activity is well suited for a park. It's family oriented, it's wholesome, and it's not really limited by age. A wide range of ages could participate in this activity. The county isn't being asked to outlay funding or equipment and would share revenue for what is likely to be a very popular activity. The park itself in Bristol Woods is really not going to be significantly altered in the sense that patrons can even continue to use the footprint, as it were, the grounds in the leased area for other activities like hiking and just general outdoor enjoyment. The activity will bring in new and more frequent patrons, and it will promote the virtues of park enjoyment by offering an activity not found elsewhere. And I think the resolution also recognizes the aerial park would be operated efficiently and offer use to people of varying skill uses with regard to this zip lining activity or adventure park. So again, essentially what is being asked of the committees today is to approve and authorize the county executive to enter into this lease agreement and vendor permit agreement for an activity in Bristol Woods Park that I think would be a positive one.
And one additional item within the resolution language is Boundless Adventures will be taking care of all upfront costs associated with the construction of this facility. There also is a proposal for the county that we've had for some time now to repave Bristol Woods Parkway. And I just want to make sure we're upfront to clarify that that would be a capital improvement item on the county budget. But the last time that was paid was back in 1981. So anyone that has driven through the parkway as of late knows that that's needed with or without this agreement. So just to be clear and upfront about those events.
John, is there a whole harmless agreement here that they assume liability and are insured in the event of some sort of negligent act?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there is insurance, and the county is named as an additional insured, and there are guarantees there.
The agreement has been very thoroughly vetted by our office.
Right. I looked at it. I'm fully content with it. Looks good. The whole harmless.
How much tree trimming is involved in this? I mean, you have to remove limbs, or
that's a good concern. I don't think it's going to involve a lot of tree trimming. The trees that would be altered to allow the course, as it were, is going to be the responsibility of Boundless Adventures, and I don't get the sense that they're going to be removing a lot of trees or flora or fauna. But obviously there will be some. Most of the hardware that's going to hold up these lines is going to be on posts rather than bolted to trees, although there may be some trees that are load-bearing, as it were.
Just to move things along, I think there would be a good point for a Q&A, but I think maybe a lot of the questions might be answered after we show the video and then also have our Boundless Adventures folks come up here and give a full proposal.
Let's do it.
All right. So if we want to show the video.
The adventure park is the most amazing park there is to go to.
It's amazing.
Combining adventure with nature, with just good exercise.
The Adventure Park is a chance to be a kid again.
It's this huge area with lots of trees,
a really fun obstacle course,
and they build platforms and obstacles and ropes courses all over it.
But not on the ground, it's like up in the trees.
Seeing the perspective of what, you know, the squirrels and the birds see.
A lot of upper body strength and a lot of balance.
It's a good exercise, and it's a really good mental exercise.
You know,
a lot of balance.
Yoga, zen.
It's a chance to see, like, you know, how you are, how physically fit you are. It's a chance to build friendship.
You do something out of the ordinary, out of your ordinary daily routine.
All right, excellent. This thing right here, you just jump off and you drop straight down. Isn't that cool?
It's awesome.
Like a vast expanse of like awesomeness.
We've run to a lot of the different zip line type courses and challenge courses. I'd say this is the best
one. This is the best one.
It can be easy, it can be really hard.
You start off at the sort of very basic, easiest trails for the youngest kids or the grown-ups like me who are pretty scared. And then just like on a ski trail, it keeps going up higher and higher.
So like yellow and purple, they're kind of easy. And then green is a little harder. And then blue is kind of hard. And then black is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And then they get progressively harder. These black ones, there was a lot of obstacles where the steps would roll, free roll. So you're like, you know, a lumberjack on a log rolling. And a couple of them got out from underneath me.
It's safe, but it's scary.
It was safe, but it was also scary, which makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because our minds remembered that it was supposed to be safe, but then our bodies were like, ah!
It's very safe. There's no way to not be strapped in, because you have two of these. One has to be locked in order to have the other one come off.
One's always locked and one is always unlocked, and you use the little tweezle thingies to lock the other one and unlock this one.
Only one can come off at a time. This one's locked. So you take your unlocked one, you bring it over here to the tweezle, you clip it onto the line, and you push in at the bottom, and then that makes this one unlock. And this one is now immovable and locked. So now I bring this over onto the safety line, and I move around to the next element. So they always have one of them clipped on at all times, no matter what. It can't fall off because one of them's always locked onto a line. Make sense?
If you were gonna build an amusement park, you were gonna have to chop down a bunch of trees and use them.
But here, they just put the stuff on the trees and they don't damage the trees at all.
All of the platforms are sitting on wedges, just like this. So the platforms are held up by friction and gravity, all sitting there. And right above, you can see all the wires are wrapped around slats. No bolts, nothing's penetrating the trees. And they live nice and happy.
And I really like that because it's not hurting the nature.
So that's a pretty good visual as far as what an aerial adventure park is. So after that, I'd like to introduce our two guests for the evening. We have Brian Funkmeider. He's the co-owner of Boundless Adventures with him and his wife. And also we have Doug Wheeler, Director of Design and Construction, that will spend about approximately 15 minutes with a general overview of what they do and how they do it.
Hey everyone, I'm Brian Funkmeider. As Matt said, I'm the owner of Boundless Adventures, so I'm here with Doug Wheeler, and together with Berkeley Williams, who some of you met on our last trip, and my wife, we founded Boundless Adventures to build and operate aerial adventure parks. Collective experience building over 25 parks, training staff, over 330 staff members in high ropes rescue and park operations. Myself and Berkeley Williams are actually general managers of parks that each had over 40,000 visitors annually. So you saw what an aerial adventure park is, so I'm not going to go through that. But I just will show you a few just still pictures of, you know, some recent pictures that we've taken at our.
And those are your parks.
Yeah.
And Brian, how many courses do you think that are going to be part of the Bristol Woods aerial?
So it should be, the working assumption will be 9 courses. And Doug, if you just want to go to the next slide real quick. So there are, as I said, 4 levels of difficulty. Yellow, which are easy, 10 to 12 feet off the ground. Don't require much strength and balance, but, you know, certainly are challenging. And they progress up to from green to blue to black, and the blacks are extremely difficult, and it could be over 40 feet off the ground, and requires more athleticism. But, you know, sometimes people will come, adults will just stay in the yellows and have a fantastic time, or, you know, they want to push themselves. But, you know, where the presumption will be, there will be 3 yellow courses, 3 green courses, 2 blue courses, and 1 black course. Each one will have 12 to 15 elements. Each one will have 1 or 2 zip lines and another rolling element. And a lot of people ask, are you a zip line park? And the answer is no, we're not a zip line park. We're a high ropes course. Zip lines are fun, but we're not here to do a 600-foot zip line. We're here to give somebody an experience and an opportunity to challenge yourself. Yes?
Is the park in Lake Geneva then just a zip line park that they have?
I'm not actually familiar with
the park. Anybody,
I think it is.
It's just
zip lines.
Okay.
Zip lines.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's nothing like this in the area?
No. I mean, I can't think of where the closest one is. I know there's one maybe south of Chicago somewhere, but yeah. But I think what's important is growth. And you have to make yourself a little uncomfortable to grow. And I think we found time and time again that we've created a safe environment to do just that, to come potentially learn something about yourself. And, you know, either you're going to come and push yourself hard, or you come and have a great time in the trees for 3 hours. Either way, you know, it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just anecdotally, we had somebody from West Point that couldn't graduate because they were scared of heights. And you can't graduate West Point unless you could jump. And they came to our park and stood on a platform 30 feet in the air for about a half an hour at one of our leaps of faith, which basically consists of stepping off of a platform and lowering yourself down slowly on a self-belay, something called the true blue. But taking that step is really hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for a lot of people. Anyway, about a half an hour went by, and he made it down and got to the ground. And his mother was there and rolling on the ground crying because he did it. And he went back and did it again, 25 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm happy to say that he graduated from West Point. And, you know, there's story after story, inspiring story. And I'll go through some of them. I don't want to take a lot of time. But anyway, just all the courses start from a starting platform. So this is basically the beginning. All the courses start from a central starting platform and veer out throughout the park and end at various points. There are mulch trails underneath, and we'll mulch and maintain the trails to get back to the starting platform, but they'll also be for use for the public, for anyone who's coming to Bristol Woods Park, because we're not going to put a fence around it. This should be enjoyed by everybody. And you don't have to pay to come to the park. If you're a patron of ours, yes, you're going to pay admission, but if you're just there watching somebody or just there enjoying the park, there's no need for you to pay to be there because it's public property. And that's very, very important to us. And I think in evaluating it, the properties with Matt and Nick Murphy.
He's retired.
Oh, sorry, Nick Murphy. we found that this was the perfect site here. And we love the fact that the Pringle Nature Center is there. Part of it is we're really into collaborative learning. I mean, right now, we just opened a park March 31st on a State University campus in New York at Purchase College. And we're working with the various fields of science, biology, environmental studies, physics, about how they could utilize the park and teach. And we're actually teaching a class in, well, it's a phys ed class in high ropes rescue, but we're going to be trying to teach more more joint course with the science. But I think as far as us in Pringle Nature Center are concerned, there's just a lot of opportunities for experiential learning. And I'd love to explore a Teach from the Canopy program, which educators can teach about the environment while climbing the course. And I think what's better than that? I mean, we learn from listening and watching, but when we experience something, it's just that much more effective and compelling. And so we'd also like to work together to put signs on our walking trails describing the wildlife, flora, and fauna. And I think it's great to, like, not just for our customers, to learn something. This is this type of tree. These are migrant animals that come through here, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for that, and I hope we have the opportunity. Just a little quick bit as to why we got into this business. We went to West Virginia on a family vacation years ago. My daughter, who was 7 or 8 at the time, extremely shy, very introverted, didn't have a lot of confidence. We found this concept in Adventure Park. 3 courses, smaller scale. And in about 8 seconds, she was up climbing the course, clipping and unclipping herself. And for the first time, she learned that she could achieve something without mom and dad. And I saw a confidence grow in her and a smile. And just, I would say to this day, she's 14 now, that was a turning point for her socially and developmentally. And my wife and I basically said, we have to bring this closer to home. And, you know, that's kind of how we got here today. I don't know how, Doug, you want to just grab a slide? You know, you saw on the video how the clips work, but I don't know if you wanted to see a little bit of a demonstration live or if anybody wanted to try, but Doug, if you would, just hold on to this. And so everyone wears a full body harness, and attached to that harness are these SSBs, Smart Safe Belay. And this is my harness. It's not. This wouldn't pass our test, by the way. So, as you see, one is always unlocked, one is locked. Even the unlocked clip will hold 2,000 pounds. It's just you physically have to open it. But once you're clipped in at the starting platform, once you're locked on at the beginning of your course, you can't unlock until you're done, until you're on the ground safely. So as you see, this is locked, now this is unlocked. This one's on to the next element, now this is locked, now I could move from element to element. And it really is, it takes human error out of it. And there will be bumps and bruises, no doubt, because, you know, it's an environment where you're moving in different ways. But, you know, in terms of catastrophic injury, this is where you're protected. And the insurance companies really love this. And our insurance people, a lot of people ask, isn't insurance crazy? Well, all insurance is crazy, but it's really not as bad as you would think. It's not as bad as a ski slope. It's not as bad as a swimming pool, where catastrophic injury is more likely. So, you know, we're proud of using this.
And that's called a?
A Bornak SSB.
Question. Can you tell me what those harnesses and those are rated at weight-wise and stuff so I could use them?
Well, we do have a 265 weight limit, and that's not so much for, it's not that the capacity is 266, it's that we try to, you know, we want to make sure that, A, you can fit in a harness, okay. And it's a dignity issue.
I make it, so.
Okay, awesome. Okay, well then.
Okay. I can vote on it now. Hey.
Okay, Doug, you want to just flip the next one? Just some general information. We accommodate climbers 7 and up. Climbing season is roughly beginning of April to end of November. We're open during the shoulder months from Friday to Sunday for general admissions and during the week for private groups. And when school's out, we're open 7 days a week from 9 to 8 p.m. Okay, and let's see. Just another thing, it's important to point out that we're in a reservation system, so we'll only take a certain amount of climbers every 15 minutes because we don't want traffic in the trees and we don't want traffic on the roads. So while people will walk in, eventually we're going to, if somebody walks in and they want to climb, if we have a reservation, we'll give it to them. But we're going to train the public to understand you need to make a reservation ahead of time, because we don't want a line of cars, and we don't want a line in the trees. And we've never put up more people in the trees than, so it's not a fun experience. So there it is. Yes.
Brian, can you touch on your staffing, where they are in this element? Are they at every station?
Sure. So there are zones within the park. So there's always at least one or two on the starting platform, make sure everyone gets clipped in. There's at least two in the harness shed helping people get their equipment on and giving safety briefings. And there's at least four roving monitors throughout the park, sometimes more, depending on how crowded we are, that will either, if there's an issue, they'll talk you through it. If you need a little help, they'll come up and help you. And if you need to get lowered down, they'll come take you down. And that's it. In terms of staffing, I just wanted to mention that our staffing, we're going to have two to three full-time positions and 30 to 35 part-time positions available. And I will tell you that the kids love to work at our park, and the adults. And we have a lot of college students, but we also have EMTs, we also have firefighters. They love to come work at the park, and honestly, staff is what makes it, you know, staff make or break. Make the break the park.
And bringing that up with the safety, are your people trained in basic safety and AED?
Oh yes, AED, okay. CPR, and then they go through 5 days of high ropes rescue. Okay. And not everyone passes, by the way. We hire people and we pay them for training, but if they don't pass at the end, they could work for the park on the ground, but they can't go up and help. And that includes like shadowing and hours of shadowing somebody who is trained already. So just some more community quick benefits. The park's a great equalizer. You don't have to be a great athlete to climb. A soccer team could come to the park, and maybe the star player is scared of heights, and the kid on the bench is a great climber. And they climb together, and they learn something about themselves and each other. And they get back to the field, and the kid who sits on the bench has a little more confidence, takes some more chances, and becomes a better player because of it. And it's really, really important for, like, everyone could climb. You don't have to be a great athlete. And just another thing I want to point out, it's no secret that technology is taking over our lives. So a big theme for us is unplug and clip in. Kids need to unplug from their phones, from their electronics, from some of the stress, and clip in and come play in the trees. And I know I'm stuck for time now, but I do want to say that We work with a lot of disabled children and adults, autistic children and adults, and I just want to go through one quick story. A couple weeks ago, I climbed with a boy named Joe. He's a fifth grader, autistic, nonverbal, told by his teacher that he hardly smiles or makes eye contact. I started him on a yellow course. I walked with him. I walked backwards. I moved his hands and feet to where they needed to be, little by little. He was pulling away, doing it himself. Little by little, I'd take some steps. He would come follow me. I would demonstrate. He would follow. He would do it. And after a little while, he'd grab my arm, smile, and start rubbing my arm. And it's happened four or five times. And I have to tell you, this was probably, this was the best day I've ever had at one of our parks. And Joe is zipline. And Joe's coming back. But we're working on formalized training for our staff, working with the Special Olympics and the Adaptive Sports Foundation, because we got to bring this to everyone. And I want autistic families affected by autism to know that they're not only invited and welcome, but they're encouraged to come. And also, we work with at-risk youth. A lot of underprivileged children come. We work on grants. Sometimes people come for free. We let people come in who we feel like they need to come because they otherwise wouldn't come. We had just a couple weeks ago, sorry Matt, I'll be done. Little girl in our town, sixth grade, diagnosed with a brain tumor 2 years ago. Okay now, but she had gotten a Make-A-Wish. She got a wish for Make-A-Wish. She wanted to give back, so she came to our park. She said, the park is yours. And she raised $10,000 to give somebody else another wish 2 weeks ago at our park. So it's really about what are we going to do for the community, and it's just wonderful. I can't say how great it is. You have to experience it to really know, but we're here to do something special, and I hope you guys are on board with doing that with us. And I'm just going to pass it over to Doug Wheeler. Real quick, just some few tidbits on the construction.
So there was a question about tree removal and pruning. And we want to work with a county. You guys recommend a certified, ISA-certified arborist that we work with, that his recommendations for removing invasive species. We also do hazard clear with the arborist. They do all the work, but anything larger than 2 inches in diameter or larger that's dead that could fall down is removed. Any standing dead trees would come down, or if they're deemed hazardous from any wind damage. And then they come through each year and do a yearly assessment of the park to see if you know, we get a lot of snowstorms, if trees come down, they'll be repaired before we open back up. And our staff goes through each morning to inspect to see if any limbs have come down, any windstorms, or if any boards are loose or anything. And that would be taken care of on a daily basis by our staff, and then a yearly inspection by an ISA certified arborist. And then for construction wise, yes, we do use some of the trees for bolting. In the video, you did see some wrapping and some compression. This is a new industry that is growing every year. A lot of compression has restricted growth of trees, where bolting allows growth of trees that the tree can still grow in diameter and grow around the bolts. And that's, we've switched over to bolting at a park in New York. And with ISA certified arborists, they like our bolting system more, but still we would work with a county approved ISA arborist.
And on that note, so everything stays up year round, even
yes.
though you're not open year round.
Yes, and so you guys saw a picture of the starting platform during hours of operation. Let's see if I can. This is a sketch of our starting platform that we use. You see a bridge come down to a set of stairs. Those stairs are usually 6 feet high with railings and a landing, and those would come up at night so that someone couldn't get on at night above 6 feet, and then the walkway going up to the bridge is covered by 6 foot netting. So, and then we'd have, you know, signs that are posted, no admittance, but you'd really have to try to get up onto the courses. But, and then during winter months, those would be up as well. And anything that we have, the descenders that we have that are hanging from the trees at the end of some of our harder courses would come down during the closed season as well.
Sure. Rain days.
Sorry?
When it rains.
Yeah. When it rains?
Excellent.
When it rains, if it's too wet, we're closed. But if it's a drizzle here and there, if people want to come play in the rain, you're more than welcome to. There are, you know, wood is going to get a little bit slippery when wet. With wind, we do shut the park down with 25 miles or more. It's just a wind hazard of branches coming down. But anything under 25, we will stay open.
So someone has a reservation can just get a rain check?
Correct. And same with thunderstorms. We keep our eyes open. We're watching the weather constantly. If storms starting to come through, usually around the 15-mile range, if there's a lightning strike within 15 miles, the park starts to get evacuated, and it will open 30 minutes after the last lightning strike within a 15-mile radius.
Do you need a lightning detector?
We have services that we use, too.
Okay.
Where do you put your supplies? Do you have to build a shed, a garage, some kind of
outfit? Yeah, there'll be a storage shed for the harnesses, locked up for at night. And then same with the SSBs, the clip-in points, and any extra padding, because all of our zip line ramps have pads on them. The trees have pads on them for any impact that, if you're not paying attention during our safety briefing, you'll know, you know, you're supposed to hang onto the trolley so that you don't spin around, come in backwards. But
how big is the building that you have to build?
So the roughly that the safety, the storage shed will be somewhere roughly 10 by 12 by 20 is, we're going to look at the topography, but roughly 12 by 20.
Okay. Usually under 400 square feet.
Matt? And with that, there's three proposed facilities. So one would be storage. There would also be an office area for the staff to work within facilities. And then also their own separate restroom facility. And this isn't just porta potties. They're actually constructing more of an upscale restroom facility that's off the grid, and that gets pumped out on probably a daily, weekly basis as needed.
So will there be refreshments and things like that?
Light refreshments, you know, we're not selling food. We'll sell ice cream and chips and certainly drinks. And we also have water throughout the park, you know, at no cost.
There's no issue with littering from your other parks?
No, and our staff are very, very attuned, and that's something we talked about. Like, not only we're responsible for the premises, but even the parking lot we'll go through because, I mean, it's a bad representation to have a lot of garbage out.
Let's say that we get this thing done and we approve it. What's your time frame for getting it set up and going, this year or where you start?
Well, design process takes a few weeks. My partner and I would come in and work on a design, and then we still have obviously a lot of paperwork and processes to figure out permitting, and then usually a 3 to 5 month window of construction, but we also construct straight through winter. We've built in Michigan in the middle of winter, so.
So you're probably looking at spring more than anything.
Yeah.
Matt, of the 200 acres, what percentage of trees, roughly?
So, good point. So you can actually see on this aerial map, this is Bristol Woods Park right here. Within the red area, this is roughly a little bit over 6 acres where we propose Boundless Adventures premises to be. And remind you, these yellow intertwined in here, those are multi-use hiking trails.
Okay, and all the brown areas are still open trees. Okay.
Correct, but all of these is our tree canopy that you can see. So okay. It's a densely forested area.
So it's a relatively small percentage of the park.
A little over 3% of the park would be utilized. And remind you, it's all above ground too. So other than the platform and the landing areas, everything else basically is open and accessible for the general public.
It pretty much will stay the same, I gather, right?
Yes. And if anything, it's being enhanced. As Brian stated, they're maintaining the trails, they're adding wood chips, they're adding to their user experience that's going to be also for our park patrons on top of it. So a lot of these trails, and then some side trails where they'll interconnect all their courses, they'll add value of maintaining those trails within the 6 acres as well.
Monica?
Matt, with this being in my District 18, I received a couple phone calls on this today, and the main concern is protecting the integrity of the park. And residents have wanted to know how many trees are going to be coming down.
So as far as trees coming down, that needs to strictly be permissible through Kenosha County. Based on the region, I do not see that any mature trees would necessarily need to come down. But that would be something that we would have to approve prior to Boundless Adventures just going in and cutting anything within the contract itself. Anything over a 10-inch caliber tree in diameter needs our authorization. So that's something that we're going to be very conscientious, because working with Boundless Adventures, they want to be out in the woods. We don't want a clear-cut, be-in-the-field type of mentality. That we want these elements nature-based, and they value it. Obviously, we value that as well.
Thank you.
Greg, are you going to hold them to the permitting for any ash that are sitting out there? Because they need to come down.
If there's ash that are going to be directly affected within their courses, as I said, not only with the annual basis that they need to have a third-party certified arborist, but on the upfront end, they need to make sure with any of their equipment that would be interfered with an ash tree that would be within the fall limit, that would need to be removed, because that would be considered a hazard.
Greg?
Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but what is the cost for someone to go in?
We're still working on the comparables, but for a 3-hour climb, on average, it's about $50.
Okay.
But for groups, for scouts, for schools, it's less.
So it's flexible, it's different.
Yeah.
Okay, and we are on a 6% revenue total gross admission sharing?
Mm-hmm.
Both concessions?
It goes initially to 7% after 2 years.
Right. Have you got any ballpark figure what you're thinking this is going to be in gross revenues? Any idea?
We did go back and forth as far as what our projections would be as far as shared gross revenue. And again, this is new to the community, so it's all speculative. I want to put an asterisk on there. Potentially about $75,000 would go back to the county.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is about a 6-acre park. Is that average size for what you build, smaller, larger?
We can build on 3 acres, and it's very compact, and you don't feel, you know, someone else is on another course and you feel like they're right next to you. The more you expand, obviously, the more personal experience you get with nature, but 6 is a pretty good
average. And you see the 9 lines as being hard that's not going to be, you're not going to want to put any more up, or you have room to put more up if you want to?
In 6 acres, you could fit 12 easily, but you don't want to start with a 12-course park because
you don't know
if people are going to come climb for 12 courses. But a 9-course park is a great place to start, and we have a course in New York that has 9. It's fitting really well. If there's more, then obviously come back to the table.
And in that example, the 9, it's also on about 6 acres, or?
I believe it's on less than 6 acres.
Less than 6 acres, okay. So there's a little bit of elbow room in this.
Mm-hmm. Question, does the course stay the same all the time, or do you change it up once in a while come back because they get used to it?
You can change up certain elements on cables, but the cables stay the same. So if we put a cable 6 feet high off the platform that you could hang something from, you could hang a different bridge. Okay. But for the most part, it would stay the same. The same direction, same location.
And we have a lot of repeat visitors because no one can climb the whole all 9 courses in the 3 hours. People will come and do 3 to 5 courses. And if they come back 3 weeks later, it's not like if they do the same 3 to 5 courses, it's a brand new experience.
You get rid of all the poison ivy too?
I was walking back there today. I didn't see too much, but I'm pretty allergic to it, so I'd be getting rid of it.
I had some questions on the draft itself. Is that here or is that later to talk about that? Questions on the draft? Just some language. Now would be?
It's up to you if you want to do a sidebar, if you think that...
Well, no, it's just when it says operation of the park, should the exact area of the operation be defined? It looks like when it says that they're going to keep it clean and maintain it and all that, do we have to define it's, so many feet east and so many feet west, or we just say what is considered that area?
There is a legal description specifically attached to that content.
Okay, good.
An attachment on back end.
Does the county determine what the words safe, clean, good order, maintaining, repair, etc., do we determine what that is? Because those are all relative terms.
Correct, and we work closely with our Corp Council, and from where this started to where it is now, I think we're trying to articulate all those things. So as far as safe, clean, we expect it from the county that everything would be left in a manner clean and safe. That means no litter, no garbage, no debris, everything orderly on a daily basis, if not immediately taken care of.
Okay, I mean something similar when it says items to be sold. We understand what that is. It's whatever goes through their register. And I think the last, two questions. Does the county have the proper training and expertise to do the inspection that we talk about, inspecting that?
No, we do not. We actually bring in a third-party certified arborist to do the inspection.
But I'm talking about inspection of the cables, the platforms, and all that. So, you go to an amusement park, they have separate inspectors that do that.
Usually there's a state inspector per state.
I don't like the word usually.
Well, I mean, there's a state
the Department of Labor or Health and Safety.
Okay, so we have the ability to have an independent, because we don't
have we can't operate. The state won't let us operate without that. So what we do is we have a third-party ACCT certified inspector, make sure that we're meeting all of their guidelines.
Okay.
And then in order for us to get our state amusement approval or depends on my...
Okay, so this is a state...
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right, and obviously sure we'll that. Share all... We'll hang it up and,
sure.
Are you inspected monthly?
Pardon?
Weekly? Are you inspected weekly, monthly, daily?
By the third-party inspector? Yeah. It's an annual inspection.
Yearly.
But our staff are trained and our staff inspect...
Look for
it. Yeah, daily. The courses get inspected by our staff daily. And then weekly, it gets a more thorough weekly inspection. Then each month it gets even a more thorough.
Okay.
How long have you been in business?
Balanced Adventures, we've been... we started a company in 2015. But we started in the Adventure Park at Long Island was the first park we were involved in.
Mm-hmm.
That opened in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened, what happened is we built that with another party and we worked with them to potentially build a New York park, but they decided to go in a different direction. So we agreed to part ways and to operate on our own. Doug and Berkeley had worked with them previously, and then they started building on their own. So we all kind of came together to start this company.
Now, you said you had 25 parks that you built in the last four years?
Well, not in the last 4 years. No. I'm talking the experience between Doug, Berkeley, myself, throughout our careers.
Most of them are on the East Coast?
East Coast, there's one in Montana, there's one in Jackson, Wyoming.
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
So why'd you pick this area?
Chicago, Milwaukee market.
Okay. And in the termination without any penalty, I think it's 1.5.2, it didn't mention anything about financing or loans or
self-finance
or anything like that. So that's not going to be part of that then. Okay.
We're self-financed, yeah.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Okay, Matt.
Go.
Oh.
Brian, or Doug, you want. So we're in the woods, right? And obviously, if your spring is like ours, there's logs.
Yes.
So there will be usage of DEET, right? DEET is harsh on polymers. How do you, and as well as foliage, okay? What has been your experience to kind of control that? Because you know how, you know, if they're little kids, or like my wife, shoot alive. How do you manage that? And then with regards to your equipment, exposure to the DEET on nylon and engine will degrade it over time. How do you manage that?
Part of the yearly inspections, all PPE is inspected yearly by our third-party inspector. So all the harnesses and the SSBs. The SSBs go in once a year for inspection, and if a cable needs to be replaced on them or a clip, part of the clip is worn out, it gets retired and a new clip is put in. So with reference to the equipment, it's inspected annually.
Okay, and then do they annually wash it? You know, because you can wash
it. You can wash it, but a lot of companies that...
Just replace it?
You're going to have to replace because any kind of soap, warranties are voided. You can do warm water with most harnesses, but...
How about the application area? Do you restrict it to a certain area? You know, the entrance, say in the parking lot, that's the best place to have to apply it.
That's a very...
Golf courses are really...
That's a fantastic idea. And to be honest with you, it's really a regional issue. Yeah. And when we learn more about the region and what works and what doesn't work, that's something we'd like to work with you guys on, because we could use all the advice we can. But we don't want to hurt any. We don't want to hurt the forest, and we don't want to hurt.
DEET doesn't like foliage.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, if there's no more questions, then it's up to the committees of how you would like to proceed as far as a vote either tonight. Or it's up to you as a chairperson if you'd like to take a vote tonight.
And then when do you plan on taking this to the county board then?
That'll be 2 weeks from tonight.
2 weeks from tonight.
Not tonight.
That would give, what I would suggest is, some of you seem to have numerous questions, that Matt is always available. Joe is always available. If there's legal questions, if there's financial questions that you have, what we're really looking for here this morning or this afternoon is a direction that we'd like to see that you want to go, or if you want to go there. And I think some of these questions, like the DEET and things, you can work out at a different time. I'd like to do it this evening. I don't know, Chairman Rose, would you?
No, I agree.
Okay.
Perhaps the Finance Committee wants to consider this.
I move to approve it.
I second.
All right. Is there discussion on finance? All right. Seeing none, all those on Finance Committee supporting it, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, it passes.
So if we could have a
I move we accept the
second plan.
Motion from Facilities. Where was the second? Supervisor Skolitsky, any discussion? Supervisor Poole?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that last week when I got the Pringle meeting notice for July 2nd, I wondered what we could do, you know, for Bristol Woods Park, because it seemed like it's underutilized. And then I got the notice about this meeting, and I thought this would be a great idea for this park. And on a personal note, when I was in Europe last year with my 7-year-old grandsons, they actually went on a course just like this, and they loved it.
How about you?
You're looking forward. You're looking forward to getting on another one.
So, if there's no further discussion from Facilities and Parks, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we're unanimous, two committees. And again, if anyone has any questions, believe me, our staff is accessible from county, for county board supervisors and for the people from Pringle. Matt has been discussing, this is a very sensitive issue because that is a very important part of their lives. It was donated to the county. We want to give them access to any information they want, and it's open very for you folks also, and to be part of this discussion, so. All right, thank you, everyone. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Move the second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye. Don't forget to sign the resolution that's being circulated now.